Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, let your river flow in this place. Lord, let your river flow in this place, oh God. Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready for the deep in, Lord. I'm ready for the deep in, Lord. Lord, I've been living my life in the shallow waters. But Lord, I'm ready for the deep things of your love. Keep going. How would you respond if Jesus walked in these doors? How would you respond to the living Savior? How would you respond? I don't care what people think of me. Oh, Lord, I come to adore you, Lord. Oh, I come to adore thee. For you're my everything, oh God. Lord, I bow myself before you, King. And come and have your way with me. Lord, you're the one that speaks. Lord, I'm just a mouthpiece. Lord, I come to amplify your goodness and grace. I come to amplify your mercy. I come to amplify your love, oh God. Oh God, I'm nothing without you. Oh, let the river flow, Father. I bow my life to you. It is what's been in here today. You've had a struggle to bow your life completely to God. But right now you said, Lord, I want to bow my life to you. I want to give my life to you, God. I know I haven't given you everything. But Lord, I want to give you everything that I have. Everything that I am. God, I want to give it to you. And if that's you, I'm not going to look. If that's you, raise your hand. Raise your hand to God and say, God, here's me. Here's me, God. Here I am. He's walking through the door. He's watching you. He's watching you. He said, come. Come to me. I have so much for you. Don't leave me. Come. Come to me. He loves you so much that you can't possibly understand the fullness of it. Lord, I praise you. I thank you for your goodness and your grace in this place today. Let salvation reign. Salvation reign. I'm not looking for numbers. I'm looking for hearts. I'm looking for souls to come to Jesus. Hallelujah. He's looking for you. He's got a posse out on you. He's got the posse out on you. He's not going to leave you until you give up. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah, church. Hallelujah. The anointing to rest upon you, my friend, is like rain, showers of rain. And when you play the keyboards, there's a refreshing rain that's fallen upon this place. And the people that can hear the words are receiving a fresh anointing upon their lives every time you get up there. Hallelujah. I have notes, and I don't care. I don't come to preach a word. I come to preach the heart of God. Amen. Sometimes I have to use my notes, but sometimes I don't. Woo! Hallelujah. Let's just wait. Mean in detail. If you were here last time when I was here, you'd know Kavah. I think. Did I preach Kavah here? Okay. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Right? They will run, not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Kavah is not just me waiting on something to happen. It's me weaving myself with God. In the process of waiting, I'm not just weaving. I'm not just waiting. I'm weaving myself to the heart of God. So when He takes off as that eagle, I can hold on to Him. This is given because of the story of the king who was attacking Jerusalem at the time. And they had war eagles, what we call screaming eagles now. Warriors had this leather band that was tied to the eagle. It held a weight. They would come in and decapitate the people because they had a ball hanging off the feet of the eagles. Hezekiah asking Isaiah, "Man, you got a word for me?" He said, "I do. I do, brother." He says, "No weapon formed against you is going to prosper today." He says, "Those who wait, those who braid themselves like you see out here because they saw 800 screaming eagles," he said, "You know what? That's a symbol of who God is. I need you to tie yourself like they're tying themselves because you're a warrior. And grab yourself, and you will not let go until God says so." Amen? Those who wait upon the Lord, don't just wait, weave. Hallelujah. That's not my notes, by the way. That probably happens a lot. Okay, Palm Sunday. Oh, excuse me if I'm sniffling. If I am sniffling too much, just throw a tissue box at me. I'll get you. Okay? Hoshiana. Hoshiana. Say that. Hoshiana, Hoshiana, Baruch, Basim, Adonai, Baruch Haba, Basim, Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is what is about to happen. But I'm going to tell you some things today that may, hopefully, get you to dive into the Word. Now, at the end of January, in the year of AD 31, Jesus is in Bethany, a couple miles away from Jerusalem, a couple miles away from Bethpage. You read earlier, the house of figs. And Mary and Martha is calling out to Jesus. They're sending information by carrier to Jesus because he is in someplace else at the moment. And they say, you know what? Lazarus is dead, or Lazarus is sick, and it doesn't look good. And so we need you to come now, because if you don't come now, after 4 days, it's all over with. Not even God can save Lazarus. This is what they believed. Not even after, they give a time limit on God. Who does that? Right? They believe in God. They know God. They've been serving God for thousands of years. But they say, God, you can't even be God if past 4 days. Because this brother is totally stinking right now. So Jesus said, hang on. Give it a couple days and I'll be there. Come on, Jesus. We need you to come right now. Yeah, I know. We'll wait another day. His disciples are trying to get him to do this. Well, Lazarus dies. We all know the story. But do you know that he is an Egyptian Jew? Because anybody in Bethany that owns property in Bethany has to be an Egyptian Jew. Because Mark Anthony made it happen years and years and years before. So, because he's an Egyptian Jew, guess what they do on the first day? They cut him here to there, open him up, take out his heart, his lungs, take out his eyes, take out his tongue, take out his brain. They put it in a little jar, and they fill it with embalming fluid of water, vinegar, oil, and one other ingredient. I can't remember what it was. But anyhow, they put that in that jar, and they fill him up with that same embalming fluid. And it says in history from Practicius, it says that they wrapped him up 18 times. They wrap him, put gum and resin, smear it all over his body, wrap him again. You know, just like you see a mummy, right? He's an Egyptian Jew. So the first day, they allow family to come and mourn. But they're not mourning on top of the ground. They have 40 steps down into a tomb. A sarcophagus is in there. 40 steps for each year that the children of Israel was in the desert. Right? Egyptian Jews. And so, Jesus comes actually on the fifth day, just to prove a point. He comes on the fifth day. But at the fourth day, they sealed it. They put the wax stamp on it. Cyrilius writes down everything. And Practicius says there's over 3,000 men at this moment. Men. So we're looking at probably 7,000 people at this funeral. Amazing. That's a lot of people. And so Jesus comes up and says, Lazarus, get on out of here. I don't know if he's country or not, but. And people listened. The tomb's all locked up, right? Sealed. Everything. Listened. An hour went by. They're still, Jesus is still there. He's still at the tomb door, the rock. Another hour went by. And people were starting to get, oh, okay, this guy's not coming out. I mean, I've seen Jesus do a lot of things, but he's not doing it. Has God ever said something about your life and you said, God, I don't see it yet? Wait. In the waiting, tie yourself to God. In the waiting, braid yourself to God. Kavah. So, another hour goes by. It's 3 hours. In about 40 minutes, it says. You probably hear something on the other side. Hey, hello. Hey, I'm in here, but I'm tied up at the moment. And Jesus said, hey, get this rock out of here. Get this rock out of here. And hey, and family, come here. Come here, family. I want you to loose them and set them free. That's what family does. We don't need to tie people up anymore. We're good at judging. We're doing condemnation. We're good at all of that kind of stuff. But Jesus says, I don't need you to do that anymore. I need you to come and release them. You need to become one who releases the captives free. Amen? And so, Lazarus comes walking out. But you got to remember, he didn't have anything. He didn't have a mind. He doesn't have a tongue. He doesn't have an eyes. He doesn't have a heart. He doesn't have lungs. They ripped all of that stuff off of him. And there was a brand new man. Jesus does not want to put a Band-Aid on your wound. But he wants to restore you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Amen? He doesn't want you to limp along in life just to get through. He wants you to be so, I want to say, in tuned with his heart. Because now he can see with eyes he never seen before with. Now he's had a heart that he's never had before. How cool is that? Now, Cyrilius and Practicius, they work for the Romans, right? They're the Roman scribes. They do this because, guess what they have to do? They're making money off this deal. Everybody that comes, you got to pay taxes. Write your name down, Cyrilius. Okay, that'd be $5. 7,000 people. That's a lot of money. But that's what Rome always done. That's why they're always there. That's why we have all these documents to prove that Jesus was who he said he was outside of the Bible. And so, this is end of January, coming February, March now. There's a little scuffle going on in Galilee and Judea. And so Pilate said that he is going to stop all the feast for that year, because he doesn't want to have those people rebel against him. See, it's always a balancing act for Pilate. So the Sanhedrin, right, who are very powerful in Jerusalem, and they said, hang on a minute. We have Passover coming up here in March, and how about if we connect the Feast of Tabernacles, I think with the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and one more. Really? Well, thank you. What did you find? What was the other one? What was it again? Feast of Trumpets. Yes, Sukkot. Thank you, baby. And so they said, how about we just combine all three of these and we'll do it for 18 days all at one time instead of doing it in the right times of the year. So again, Pilate says, well, I don't want them to have an uprising or a rebellion. I better allow that to happen, right? So right at Passover, he allowed the people to celebrate for 18 days instead of 17 days instead of 7. Okay? Now, God has a plan. All right? God always has a plan. Nobody sneaks up on God. But look at this. Tabernacles is when Sukkot. It's actually the day that Jesus was born, actually. That's why people, there. We have 3 million people in Jerusalem at this point, just coming in for that Passover, or the Passover and for Tabernacle. But for Sukkot, you know, we have a sukkah back here. Everybody lived in those sukkahs. That's why nobody had room at the inn. They weren't really looking at room at the inn because they were looking for a sukkah to celebrate. And when you walk into a sukkah, you got the bread of life. You got who Jesus is. Everything about it is Jesus. And so they come with the best thing they could. They found a horse stable in a rock. Actually, it's outside of Jerusalem, but if you get somebody that knows their stuff, they can take you to that place because they're saying it's inside, but it's not. Okay, so we have the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the Feast of Sukkot. Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement. This is, I think Tim gave you a definition on Wednesday night to abide. To abide, this is where we abide. Day of Atonement. This is repentance. This is where he wants to dwell with you or abide with you. Okay? This is that season. Very holy day. And then we have the Feast of Dedication. Actually, the Feast of Dedication, honey. That the trumpets come later. The Feast of Dedication. You know what that is? You know what that is? I hope after today you will celebrate this because God thought it was so important to put it in there. It's the Feast of Lights in December. Hanukkah. You all thought, it's a Jewish holiday. Well, not really. It's God's holiday. It's because that's when Mary was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And you count 9 months from then, and you're going to land on the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. And so, the light has come into the world, and we see the miracle of the candles, the menorah, right? You know the story? I have to go through all this. Look it up on Hanukkah. Okay, Google it. Okay. And, but there, you know, the miracle of the menorah, it went on for 8 days. It stayed lit, and it typically doesn't stay lit past one day. And it's the miracle of the menorah. So the Feast of Lights is the miracle of the Feast of Miracles. So he says, I need you guys to have all this. So, in Deuteronomy, I'm going to get there in a minute, okay? Hang on. In Deuteronomy 16:16, it says, 3 times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose. 3 times a year, a male shall appear before the Lord in a place which he chooses, a feast of unleavened bread, which is Passover. Okay, Passover. The feast of Shavuot. You know what that is? Shavuot, Pentecost. You just thought that was just a day that God showed up, right? No, it was celebrated every year. It was celebrated because what Moses, you know, received upon the mountain of God, which is the Word of God. Okay? The Word came down in tongues of fire, and everybody started speaking in tongues, right? And had a new, it was the birth of the church, right? That's what he says. I need everybody there. And the Feast of Tabernacles, which is Sukkot. Why does he need to do this? For people to observe Passover, the death of Christ, for people to be at Pentecost, to receive the power of the Holy Spirit of God, right? And 3, the tabernacles to celebrate his son's birthday. All 3 things God wanted his people there for. And all these other things in that year were okay to have. Just those ones that they called off. But now they're allowed to have it. Now, Israel, you know, we're really hung up on 3, you know, the Trinity. You know, we love that. Three is our number, right? I mean, three. Gimel. Gimel means Philip. Three. But in Israel, it's four. They love the number four because of the promises of God in Israel. It was the promise of God that said, I will take you out. I will take you out of Israel, you know, out of this. I will save you, and I will protect you, and I will be your bride. You will be my bride. And these four things God wants for us. Okay. I see a lot of looks on your faces like, what did he just say? Okay. I pray that you catch what you need to catch. Amen? Not everything that I say you're going to remember, especially the Hebrew stuff. But I do want you to remember this, that God loves you. He wants to save you. He wants to abide with you. He wants to be there for your atonement, for your repentance. So, and he wants to be the light in your life. Amen? Four things. I want you to remember those things. Oh, yeah. Woo! Thank you, baby girl. I feel like T.D. Jakes. Okay. All right. I want to show you guys something. Will you open your Bibles? You have your Bibles? I don't have slides, guys. I tried to do the slides. I have them on here. I can't do slides because I go everywhere without a plan. I just hear God and I go. And it's like, okay, let's use the last slide first. You know, I can't use slides. How about John 12? Can you turn to John 12? I want to show you something. Hang on a minute. No. Let's go to Matthew 21. Sorry. We'll do John 12 next. Hold that place. Go to Matthew 21. And Pastor read it to you at the beginning of the service. Say amen when you're there. Amen. That sounds like majority. Now, verse 1. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and come to Bethpage, that is the figs, at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, which is probably going to be Bethpage, and you have Bethany about 2 miles from there, and because they're coming out of Bethany. And so Jesus sent the two, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. You will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. So he's got two animals, a donkey and her colt. And immediately, he will send them. He sent them. Okay, this is one story in Matthew. Now jump to John 12. We think they're the same story. I got to get a... Let me get my... Won't somebody read that? John 12:14. Read John 12:14. Read aloud. What? Thought I heard somebody. Zion. Yes, daughter of Zion. He's reading Zechariah 9:9. Yes. Now, who got that? Who said, the disciples get that one? Who said that? Jesus. Jesus went and got a colt. Now, you can believe this or not, but there's two triumphant entries. is one on March the 13th because of what Pilate had done. He screwed up everything. So there's one on March the 13th and one on March the 23rd, 10 days later. March the 13th is the first scripture. John 12 is the second scripture, or is it second entry? And I just got booed out of the church. You can take it or leave it, folks. It doesn't matter. Okay, I'm just telling you what I've read and studied. If you don't want to believe it, don't believe it. It doesn't matter, okay? Don't send me hate mail. I've always wanted to say that, but you know what? None of you guys have my email, so meh. Okay, now, Saba. Oh, yeah. Now, Saba is a monk in the 485 A.D., 400 years after Christ or so. And he writes this down. He says, this is what really happened. And he's got 150 students, I guess you will, in a cliff of a rock in a cave. And he became the cave dwellers. And he became the priest of these guys. And he wrote a bunch of stuff. But only about 15 documents were saved. He wrote hundreds. But these guys have more perspective of what happened back then, because through time things have changed. Do you know that in the book of Mark, that Mark didn't begin that book? James did. James started that. And he had an outline because he wanted to remember his brother, Jesus. So he started to do this book. And he wanted to help Mark. And Mark, because see, Mark wasn't there. Mark was not a disciple. Neither was Luke. So he helped Mark out, and he also helped Matthew to write this outline, and they took off on the rest of it. And then through centuries, it used to say, a book, the apostle by James, delivered by Mark, or delivered by Matthew. And through the years, it got dwindled down to the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Matthew. But somebody else, James, wrote a lot of it before he died. He couldn't finish it because he got, you know, pushed off a cliff. And so that's how that works. So we got a lot of things that had transpired through time, and so. But you know what? For the Bible, for the breath of God breathing into the Word of God, yes, He did. And it is powerful. And what God needed to stay in there is in there. Okay? So don't shoot me, all right? If I'm telling you weird stuff, don't shoot me. Just study it. Study. 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 Okay. So they got their wish to do this. Now, Sabas says that they started this on March 13th, what we know is March 13th, at A.D. 31. And so Jesus is coming, and, you know, he's at the Mount of Olives, told his disciples, go get me a colt, probably at Bethpeg. And so they did, and they brought it. Comes riding in on this donkey, and you know, and you got the mourners. This happens all the time. This happens every year. You have the mourners because it's not a happy time. Typically, this point of this whole ceremony, this celebration, is not a happy time. It's mourners and weepers all going through Jerusalem waiting for their Messiah. And they have the palm branches, which represents royalty and honor for the king. Now, they're singing it, Hosanna, Hosanna, but it means, King, please come save us. King, please come save. We need a Savior. And they're going through by hoping the Messiah will show up. And now Jesus comes in, and they all have heard about Jesus, right? He's done so many things. I mean, in Thaddeus got his eyes healed, right? They burned his eyes out with a sword, right? You know him as blind Bartimaeus. And Thaddeus was 24 years old, got his eyes blind, poked out by the Romans because he stole a bunch of arsenals, you know, with 18 other guys. The other 18 other guys were not Romans, so they hung on Calvary or on the crucifixions that day, but it wasn't a death sentence for this Thaddeus, the son of Tamus. And so, you have that. I mean, people knew all of these things. And then they heard about Lazarus coming back from the dead. Not just the dead, not just receiving new breath, but absolutely receiving an absolute made brand new body. Wouldn't you like to have a brand new body? I said, man, Lord, let me come out of that grave about 20 pounds lighter. Right? Woo! And that's what, you know, everybody was, he was so well known. I mean, Sybil, who was the governor's wife, you know her as the lady with the issue of blood. You know, for 12 years, she was the governor of Rome's wife. And, you know, they know all these things. You know, Livia, who was caught in adultery, and she was a Roman. They loved him. He had so many people who loved him. And so he's coming in now on a colt in the Eastern Gate. Now, today, the Eastern Gate is all rocked up. It's locked up. The Muslims did it about 1950. So they blocked all that up. But Jesus is coming back through the Eastern Gates, right? Those doors, those rocks will not be there when Jesus comes. Amen? But Jesus comes in on the eastern side, and he's got mourners just weeping and wailing. And, you know, they just weep loud. And they said they could hear them. And it's weeping and palm branches waving, praying, God, send us the Messiah, send us the King. And here comes Jesus. And they're like, it's like a collision. It's a collision of sorrow and joy. And it comes when they meet him. Everything shifts. The atmosphere shifts. Everything shifts. Their heart shifts. Everything. All the mourning went away and all the joy came. Amen. That's what he wants for you to know when the Messiah comes. If he's in your presence, there shouldn't be any kind of sorrow. Oh, I just had a bad week. I'm sorry. Oh, I just woke up on the wrong side of the bed. I know I'm here in church, but I just don't feel it. Are you serious? Are you serious? Get the religious spirit off of you and receive the relational spirit of who Jesus really is. Amen? And you come in here and you say, you know what? I don't care how people see me, how people think, well, he sure is loud. Right? I'm over here worshiping the Lord. They're all jamming up here. Yes, God, I see healing, deliverance, redemption. I see all of these things. You think you're going to shut me down because you don't like it? I don't think so. Because you're not my Jesus and you don't know what he's done in me. So I'm going to shout whether you like it or not. I'm not coming into a place to make you happy. I'm coming into a place to make him happy. Amen. That's how you should see things, people. You should come in with a joyful heart and praise him like you've never praised him before. Where am I at, people? At the right spot. Oh, okay, all right. Oh, dear Lord, mercy. Oh, dear Lord. All right. Okay. Hey, here's one of my slides. Yeah, I spent time on that. Okay. All right. So salvation, he wants to abide with us as he wants us to come to repentance, to restore our lives. He wants to be the light and the miracle of our lives. Four things. Okay, I got to skip through some notes. Oh, sorry. Okay. Can we get into Pesach? All right, Pesach, let's get into Pesach. Fun word, huh? Pesach, Passover. means that, like Passover lamb, it means to speak. It means to speak. Pesach. Oh, you know what I forgot to do? Oh, who cares? I was going to teach you Zakar. I wanted everybody to say, Zakar! Zakar! It's to remember. Everything that Jesus did was for us to remember. But to remember is not to go, how sweet. How sweet. Oh, that's a good memory. That's a good memory. That memory's not so good. That's a good memory. That's not that. It's not, has nothing to do with going, that's a good memory. He says, no, I want you to apply what that memory is to you. I remember, you know, Jesus sacrificed his life for me that I could come and have peace and have mercy and grace. You receive it as you remember. Are you here? You hear me? It's not just to remember something sweet. It's to remember to take action. It's a call to action. So when you remember these things, he's not saying it just to say, oh, that was a good time, or that was a good time, or you know, the Lord's table is a good time. He says, no, I want you to apply this of what you've learned to change who you are because you remembered who I am. Okay. All right. Man, I'm going to give you the fast version, like I haven't already. Oh, Lord. Okay. So we have this breakdown to because of what Pilate has done. And he changed everything up. And so everybody's got to come in line to what now has been done to him. But God set him up. And he's going to do the same thing at Passover. Now, anybody ever have taken Passover? Anybody taken Passover? Passover? Passover. I just passed over, guys. I'm glad I'm not the death angel. Okay. Pesach. Death angel. Oh, you guys know what Passover is, right? The 10th plague. 10 is the number of... Thank you. Took you guys long enough. 10 is perfection, right? You know, and Pharaoh wasn't getting it, the hint. He says, I wanted to let my people go. Okay, so you can have the hail, you can have the bugs, you have the lice, the blood in the water, you can have all. And that didn't move him until Passover. So Passover is when the firstborn were killed. A bad day. I mean, it's a bad day, but you know, God had to get his point across to Pharaoh. All right? Let the people go. But the first son or the first child had to die. God's first son had to die. He is the Passover lamb. Amen? So we have this Passover, they put blood up on the door, which is a sign of the cross. Okay, even people try to put a tab up there, but it's not really because tab wasn't tab back then. Tab was a cross, which is the last letter of Hebrew, which you might call Omega. Okay, but in ancient Hebrew, time of Moses, it was the cross. When they said they put a mark on their forehead, when the high priest put a mark, that mark is tab. When you look at it in your glossary or you know your dictionaries, it's going to say tav. It's not going to be the word for mark. It's going to be tav because tav is a cross. That's why we put crosses on people's foreheads when we anoint them, because that's actually how it says it in the Bible. Okay. Okay. So now let's. Lord. Okay. Let me read. Can I read this? If you need to learn more about the Passover, this is very good for Christ in the Passover. Just a little pamphlet, you know, it comes in, comes down. It's a cheat sheet for you, okay? I'm going to read Christ in the Passover. Okay, here we go. Okay, no, I can't do all that. Can't even see it. I'm going to put all this together. Okay. Holy moly. There we go. Okay. The Seder begins.
You ever been to a Seder?
The women's going to light the candle, okay? You have a job to do. So they light the candle, which is the light of life, right? Who's the light of life? Jesus loves. Yeah, Jesus. Jesus is the light of life. So she'll count, she'll light the candle and pray a blessing. Baruch atah Adonai. Okay? And according to Luke 22, it says he took the cup and he gave thanks. And that's what he's saying. Baruch atah Adonai. Oh, I can't remember all the. Okay. Never mind. Can't even find it. I got so many notes. I got pages and pages of notes. Okay, so Jesus takes the cup, right? And he takes the cup and he blesses it and he thanks it, and he says, you know, take this and divide it among you. That would be. I am not sucking on a glass that you have sucked on. I'm not going to do it. I don't care. You got cooties and that's gross. Right? I want my own cup, Lord. I want my own cup. I don't want a cooties from Tim. Okay. Okay, then everybody gets to partake in the Passover meal. And so they wash their hands, right? Good thing. And that's when Jesus comes in and says, you know, when they wash, Peter says, Jesus picks up the bowl, and Peter says, you know, you're not going to wash me. No. And Jesus says, hey, you have to let me wash you clean. It's all a spiritual thing, but he's demonstrating an action. Now, do you know how the Last Supper is set up? It's not your painting. They don't know how to do. Okay, it's a U shape. You ever done a U shape table, right? Okay, Okay, we got a U shape right here. Okay, right here. So on this side, about right here, Jesus. And right here, John was sitting. And they lay on their side. So they're laying on the left side, which is putting John on Jesus. These are, you know how they talked about, who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? Me. Right? We think, man, these are a bunch of losers. They're not. They're not given a little grace, okay? Because they have two honored seats, and here on the other side of the host, they want to know who's going to sit there, Lord. Guess who's sitting in this one? Judas. Judas, the one who betrayed Jesus. And then we have the rest of them. We walk around this side, and we got all the disciples on this side. We got one on the end. Okay, right here, right on the end. You're going to be known as Peter from now on. This is where Peter sat. This is a servant seat. And this is the one who washed the feet because the door was right there. Everybody came in, got their feet washed. Peter was the man. All right, so Jesus washes their feet to give them a demonstration of who he was and who they should be. So that's how that works. I put that on slippery paper. Okay. All right. So he talks about that. Next thing, that they take the matzah bread. And am I okay, guys? Holy moly. Holy moly. It's in Hebrew, too. Okay. So we have the matzah. We have the afikoman. 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 And so, in this, and they put three matzah crackers, which is the piece of bread, actually. This is the bread, right? This is matzah. It's bruised, it's pierced, and it's striped. Who does that sound like? The bread of life. Okay. If I would go through the whole making of this history, it came from the Israelites in the desert. When they made manna, right? You know how they made manna? I mean, you just can't pick it up and eat it. It says in the Word of God, it says it's like coriander seed. Like little BBs. You ever seen coriander seed? Like little BBs. And they would take it. Can I use a rock of self-control? Okay? And they would take this coriander seed, get it in a bowl, and we beat him. We smash him. We crush him. And then we put him in a fire. And we bake him. And then we come out and we receive him. Even from the very beginning, Jesus was showing them, I will be crushed. I will be burnt. I will go to Hades. And I will deliver the people of God. And he brought them out. When he was resurrected, 400 people came with him. What a day. Hey, Aunt Marge. Hey, man, it's been years. Wait a minute. Do you understand how that blows people's minds? When we actually, if we could put ourselves in that day, our Bible is so limited on all the information that Jesus did. When he came out on this earth, man, he was rocking and rolling. he was the man. And they knew that before he was crucified. You know, we say the Jews crucified him. Yes, they did. Because they ranted and ranted. But you know, there was millions of people sitting off to the side weeping for their Messiah. Millions. On those holidays, on those three, there's actually an average of 3 million people in Jerusalem. That's a lot of people. You know, when Jesus was in the garden, right? You read this in John. When he was in the garden, he's praying, and now the Judas in the group is coming. Now your little TV shows you about 4 or 5 guys coming with him. Got some soldiers, right? You know, and he's like, there was 1,000 soldiers. 1,000 soldiers. And then every one of the Sanhedrins who wanted to be there to take him down. But they didn't even know who he was. And that's why Judas is coming along and saying, you know what? All right, guys, point him out to us. Point him out. And then they said this. The officer said, are you Yeshua? Are you Yeshua? He says, who are you looking for? We're looking for Yeshua. He says, I am. And the scripture says they backed up and fell to their knees. They fell to their knees. You can't take him down. You can't take him willingly. He gave himself. And he says, now, who are you looking for? Who are you looking for? I'm looking for Yeshua. I am he. Second time, he released them to take him. You don't take God on your terms. You take God on his terms. He did everything for you. Amen? We're never going to get done with this. Oh, my Lord. Okay. Woo! God, you're so good, though. I love your word. Okay, so they do that. They do the, oh. I forgot. I'm so sorry, guys. My mind runs a million miles a minute, okay? I don't know if you probably have noticed that. Okay, there are three in this pouch. This afikomen means, it comes later. It comes later. A fancy name, huh? It comes, like, can you come up with something better than that? And they have three pieces. Now, the Jewish people, Orthodox, they believe that it's probably Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's what it means. And it says they take out the middle piece. Well, how come we taking out the middle piece then? Is this Isaac? He didn't do anything for us. And then some of them believe it's the high priest, the Levites, and the people. And you're pulling out the piece of the, what do? Nothing. They didn't die for us. But they take this anyhow in their whole ceremony, except us. We know who it is, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now we're taking out the middle one. They break it. They know everything about it. They go hide it in the temple. Hide it. The servant, because this whole servant has not finished. Not finished until they find this. The Passover. Those and then they find choose and then they sing a song. Psalm 111, 113. And you look at those songs. Good. yourself. These items on the plate. Okay, Google all this. There's taters, and you know it's messy in it. Okay, this how do you like this? Anyhow, I didn't want to buy, you know, the real thing, so I got little stuff. I said this is horseradish. Yeah, the bitter herbs. This is the egg. We have an egg on the plate. We have apples on the plate and nuts. We have lettuce and. This is potato, actually, but it's supposed to be something else. All these things, though, I don't think the egg wasn't in when Jesus was doing it. It was actually after. So it means to, when the people of Israel harden the heart. This is the mortar. They have dirt, nuts. You should be doing this. Yes. And so they remember the mortar, knowing all of that. I am not doing this justice. Okay. Jesus takes the bread and breaks it, right? A horseradish sauce. I know I got a root here, but it's actually a take this, they all dip in, take a bite of it, remember the bitterness of death. And so, they ask about one of the one dip. Three people dip in one bowl. All right, so you've got John over here, Jesus over here. Dip in one bowl.
Sorry. You still hear me, right? Okay. And so they do the Psalms, they 118, that's a joyful sound. The scripture said that when they got finished eating, they sung a hymn. That's what they sung, Psalms 118. And so then they drink the fourth cup. The fourth cup never got drank. Even though he talked about it. And it's the cup of praise. The cup of praise. After they praised, they left. They didn't drink it. And it actually also known as the cup of protection. So when Jesus did not take it, the disciples is like, he's not going to be protected. And that's what he wanted. I'm not going to be protected. That's the point. I'm not going to drink any of this. But they didn't drink it either. They all walked out. And so that's the gist of a terrible gist of the Passover. Nisan 10 is now there at this point. Everybody in Jerusalem, you ever seen a little bitty lamb? You probably saw them all over Facebook, right? Pastor got one. Lord gave him one out of the thicket. Jesus. Oh, just kidding. And so, have you ever got a little lamb? I mean, just a newborn, a little yearling. They're the cutest little things you've ever seen. Well, they would all get one for the family, and they would take it in to the house and play with it. Kids loved it. Kids loved it. Nisan 10 is when Jesus was taken. He is the Lamb of God. Nisan 14, 4 days after this, the high priest would also take a little lamb, and they would go. This is the holies of holies. They would go, holy of holies. There's a room back here, like back here. And that's where they tied the lamb. Tied the lamb. You can hear the little thing just tied it up. And at 9 o'clock in the morning, they tied it. Same time Jesus nailed to the cross. You heard the lamb. At 3 o'clock, right before 3 o'clock, the shofar is blasted. Yeah, blow it for me, baby girl. Blow the shofar. They blow the shofar at 3 o'clock. Keep going, baby, keep going. I know, it's a lot of air. You hear it? You hear it? And the priest took the lamb and he slayed it, crucified it, sacrificed it. And the blood starts to drip. The same time Jesus, as he hears the sound coming from the tabernacle, and he says, it is finished. At 3 o'clock, he laid his head down and he gave up his spirit. The lamb was slain. Everything in perfect order of what everything was being done. And this is why the soldier came and said, this was definitely the Son of God. He was a Roman. It's definitely the Son of God. I hope next week Pastor does a whole lot better job than me. But you will start to realize how much you're loved. I know many of you said, man, there's nobody can love me that much. Oh, yes, he did. He does. He loves you so much. He wants to give you everything. And you'll get fanatical about him. Where's our girl? Oh, right here. You're being prayed for over here. I was saying in Proverbs 4:20 over you is that you keep your eyes upon the Lord, the Word of God, day and night, and it will become the issues of your life. You won't have to say much because your life will tell the story. You understand that? For out of you flows rivers of living water. And so you live that Bible. And don't justify your little habits of sin, whatever it might be. Don't justify them. Get rid of them. Okay? Because you're going to just focus on the Word. Focus on the truth. And you will become the issues of life. You'll be the walking testimony of Jesus. People will see you, not really see you. They will see inside of you the love of Jesus. Understand it? So, Lord, I thank you, Father. I knew it was going to be too much. I couldn't help myself. I love your Word. It is truth. It is light. For you came to save us, to abide with us, to redeem us, and to be your bride. The four things. The four things. But they didn't know that, well, they probably did, that four is dalet. The number four, the letter four, the open door, the gate. You called yourself the door. You are the dalet. You are the four things. Just again, telling us who you really are. You come to save us, to abide with us, to redeem us, and to live with us as your bride. And Lord, we thank you, Father. I pray that, man, somebody's in this room. I pray that this message somehow drove people closer to your heart. That they will know you, really, really know you. Yada, yada, to know you, yada, to know you, to acknowledge you, yada, to praise you, yada. Lord, it changes us to know you. So, Lord, I thank you, Father, that you will now open the door and come to us, each one of us, and show us more of who you are. And we give you less, or we give you everything we are, so we will have less of us and more of you. In Jesus' name. Amen, church.
All right.
Any questions?
You guys want him to come back? Yeah, yes. I don't know. We'll see if I can. We'll see if we can. Man, this is good. We need to have a whole weekend on this. We need to have a whole weekend on this. But I truly believe that, you know, of course, we wanted more people here. Of course. But let me tell you, God wanted you here.
Found it.
All right. All right. Praise the Lord. So we're just going to have a time of commitment, and we'll just play some music. If you want to be prayed for, if you want to embrace Jesus as your Savior, come on up. If you need healing, healing is for you today. If you feel broken, mending is for you today. If you feel lost, you can be found. Whew. If you feel less, He can fill you up. Just allow the Holy Spirit to begin to speak to you as you stand to your feet. Let's go ahead and just play some soft music. Something instrumental. I need something instrumental if you can. Precious Father, we just love you. We thank you. Those that are just doubting that you heard truth this morning, we're just going to speak against that right now in the name of Jesus. May the enemy be gone in the name of Jesus. All doubt be gone. All fear be gone. For someone that has felt like that things just haven't been right with your spouse this week. That tension that you've been feeling over kids, you need to just lay that down and give that to Jesus. For those that have felt like, man, when are we going to get past this? Whatever this is, you feel weary, you feel tired. Lord, I pray that they would have the courage to just come and lay that down. Come and lay that down. For those that are in physical pain, you know, Jesus took care of that on the cross also. When he said it is finished, he took care of that on the cross. And so we want to pray that God would just heal you right here. You've already been healed. You just need to receive what God has for you. There's someone that has been having really, really bad dreams. Really, like, dark dreams. That's an attack from the enemy. We need to speak against that. We need to pray against that. If that is you, you need to give those things to the Father also. Come on now. Brad and Randy, I'm going to ask you to come up and help receive anyone. Tim, please come up and receive anyone. Christy, come up and help. Y'all just be obedient. Just be obedient to the Father. Everybody just come on down. Let's just let the Lord do what he's going to do. Come on. Let's go. Everyone come down. Just allow us to come and let's just receive what the Father has for us.